All right, we're back. 18 after the hour. This is not Carol King.
No.
You are wondering. We have a little computer glitch up at the mothership. And so that is why we are playing The Doors here. At any rate, now, you know, we've been talking this week to a couple of guests about this whole job layoff, of people looking for jobs, this kind of thing, people getting pink slips, unemployment at the highest it's been in a number of years here.
Yes.
You know, you have to go back really a decade at least to go back this far, and economy kind of in the shambles. So a lot of people obviously are looking to find a new job and get hired and, you know, get back on the payroll. Mm-hmm. And our next guest is a woman by the name of Arlene Barrow, Dr. Arlene Barrow, Ph.D., and she has a book out called Win Without Competing, Career Success the Right Fit Way, and we welcome you to the show. Good morning.
Thank you so much. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, we had you on Tuesday, and because of the inauguration, we switched you to today, so thank you very much for doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. The inauguration was terrific.
Yes.
It was terrific. Yeah, there was I knew there was something going on Tuesday.
That's what it was.
Because normally we don't preempt guesses, Dr. Barrow. But let me ask you about your book, and if you could kind of give us an overview of what the right fit method kind of is all about, and then let's explore some of the myths about getting hired, if we could.
Okay. All right. Well, the foundation of the book is basically that there is no competition. Is only yourself, okay?
All right.
Yeah.
And the goal is to set a standard against which no one can compete, that one should focus in on raising the bar and performing better, better, and better. The question is, how do you create a personal brand so that if, for example, you're searching for a new job, you can basically eliminate the competition by showing why you are the right fit, how you match the particular position, and stop the employer from shopping, from wanting to see other candidates. So it's a step-by-step method to show why you are the right fit.
So do you first start with that personal brand?
Well, what you're going to do first, you have to say to yourself, okay, I'm going to not think about the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm going to absolutely say to myself, there is no competition. I'm going to figure out, first of all, what is my core identity? Who am I right now? What is the career I'm going to pursue? What is the particular job? What is the industry? So basically, you're going to create a vision of the exact core identity. That's the first thing. Because often, when you become downsized, you say to yourself, ugh, what am I going to do now?
Right.
You're going to use it as an opportunity. Rather than getting distressed, you're going to say, let me rethink who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't want to go back to the healthcare industry. Maybe I want to go into manufacturing or banking, even though banking is in distress. In other words, think through exactly where you envision is right for you and the position that's right for you. I like to use the word position because I think it gives you a feeling of having a place in an organization rather than using the word job, which to me connotes a short-term, fast turnover.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
A job is just something to do as opposed to a position where you're there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, and that you're going to build your career.
Right.
You're going to build your career. Okay. So you think you figure out the core identity, and I tell you step by step how to do that. And then you also have to get yourself ready for change, because I'm going to be suggesting specific things to do that you normally do not do. And one of the things that's important is to make no assumptions. You know, frequently we assume certain things, and if we act on those assumptions, we will then not help ourselves. For example, we may assume that the employer knows exactly who he or she is the right fit for a particular position.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily true. I mean, why do employers parade candidates in front of them? They compare and they contrast and they search for the right fit. They do that because frequently they haven't created a blueprint of the right fit. They're hoping that the right fit will emerge. So if we assume that they know whom they want to hire, that's not good. We're better off saying, okay, we're going to call them. And that's an assumption that people make. Oh, no, we can't call them. We have to send our resume first. You know, it's one of these myths. You know, you have to send
really?
Your resume.
Really? I pick up the phone and call them.
Absolutely. Well, what are we doing? We're having a cold call. We haven't had an extensive conversation about the substance of the interview.
True.
We're doing fine, right?
We're doing great.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm struggling, Dr. Barrow, but no, Brooke's doing great.
Well, you know, it's if you're the one who's going to call, you're also the one who's going to stand out. They're going to remember you when you do come in for that interview. Oh, yeah, I spoke to you on the phone.
I guarantee that's true.
Absolutely. Well, when you call, the whole idea is to pick, probe, and pitch.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I call that sell your brand. In other words, what you're going to do is you're going to ask all kinds of questions, and then you're going to show how you fit that position.
Let me break in here real quickly. You say you're going to ask a whole bunch, a lot of questions.
Right.
Are people afraid to ask questions because they have this fear that they're not going to get hired, that it's not right to ask the person of authority all these questions?
Well, I think people are afraid. Well, first of all, when I say that I love cold calling, usually my phone runs off the hook because I guess people think I must be mad. I do love cold calling. I think it's a great way of learning about an organization, about the person with whom you're speaking. So I think, first of all, this fear of making the cold call, it's fear of rejection.
Right.
And when you're searching for a new position, you can't have fear of rejection. I mean, you're always going to have some rejection, but you can't take it personally. That's the whole point.
Yeah, it's a great point. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, with asking the questions, I think that people frequently say to themselves, it's the employer's responsibility to ask the questions and for me to answer. That's not correct. The employer wants you to ask questions. Otherwise, how do they learn about you? The quality of your questions indicates who you are and how smart you are.
I was just going to, are there right questions and wrong questions to ask? And what would those be?
Well, I'll tell you what a wrong question would be. If you ask the question, what are the hours of the job?
Yeah, how many days do I get off?
Yeah, right. When's my first vacation?
That's right. Those are not the kinds of questions you want to ask when you're trying to find out about the position. What you're trying to really determine is, what is the employer's expectation?
Mm-hmm.
What do they want you to do, mm-hmm. and what do they want you to achieve? And it's very important to differentiate between doing and achieving.
Right, yes.
You know, I run an executive search firm, and I'm also a career coach. I do both. In other words, I'm a search consultant and a career coach. And I'm just deluged with resumes. And in the cover note, they always start telling me how many years they've worked. Well, that doesn't tell me anything. It just tells me that they're getting older. That's all that tells me. Well, think about it. If you told me you've been working for 30 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, then I know you get, that's all I know is you're getting older. I don't know what you've accomplished or achieved. I care about what you've accomplished or achieved.
Yeah.
That's what I care about.
Yeah.
So during the course of the conversation, you want to know what the expectations are. You know, you've worked this, if you're going to be working, for example, after 6 months, what is it they want you to achieve? After all, they're going to evaluate you.
Sure.
And if they're going to evaluate you and determine whether you qualify for a raise, they need to know what you've accomplished. So you're going to ask questions about the expectations, the expected direction of the company. If you're in a managerial role, do you have an opportunity to hire more people? Eventually, you want to find out the budget that you'd be presiding over, how many people report to you. So all kinds of questions to really learn about the position and the solidarity of the company. Because after all, you want to go to a place that's not going to be downsizing 1 week after you join them.
Sure. That's probably stepping into the quicksand. Dr. Barrow, hang with us for just a minute, if you would. We have to take a news break here. But our guest is Dr. Arlene Barrow. The name of the book is Win Without Competing. And although there is a website, winwithoutcompeting.com. We'll give you all the details when we come back on the Brook and Woody Show. Playing Carole King today. Today marks the anniversary. In 1977, the album Tapestry actually became the longest running album at the number one position in history. And then it was actually replaced by Dark Side of the Moon, which is Pink Floyd, I guess. But
Pink Floyd, and we'll play that. And there's a whole story behind
that. Yeah, so we'll talk about kind of that. But in the meantime, we are talking with Dr. Arlene Barrow, a PhD, has written a marvelous book if you're looking for a job called Win Without Competing. And it's really kind of based on, thank you for holding first, Dr. Barrow, we appreciate it. It's based on what marketers kind of call, or at least this is my take of it, making yourself into a brand, a unique selling proposition. And I love the idea of that because so often, you know, we try to fit ourselves to a job or find a job that fits to us, but that's kind of a two-way street if we can realize who we are. And then go out and find a company that maybe is looking for who we are. That eliminates a lot of the competition out there because nobody is exactly the same way that we are, if I'm getting most of that.
Well, absolutely. And the thing is this. When you find out what you need about what the position really is, what you're going to do is you're going to show how and why you are the right fit.
Yeah.
So you're going to match the specs through both your written and your verbal broadcast. Your written broadcast is your resume, and your verbal broadcast is your pick, probe, and pitch.
Boy, easy for you to say.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, your pick, probe, and pitch.
Yeah, you know.
Okay? So your written broadcast, the resume, I advise not to send it first. That's why I like people to call the employer and then to tailor the resume to what they learn to show why they're the right fit.
You know, I think it's great. And I will tell you something else, having been an employer for 30 years, which I no longer am. But, you know,
remember, we don't want to hear the number of years.
Oh, everybody on this show knows that
I'm
a geezer.
I'm teasing about what I had said.
Yeah,
yes.
I know it. No. I'm firmly entrenched in Geezerville, but I wanted to let you know.
I agree.
But as an employer, I can tell you this, that, I mean, I would be inundated with resumes, and maybe one or two people would call, and those people got put on the top of the pile right away.
Sure.
Because they showed the initiative, and I knew that they were at least self-starters, and if they wanted the job that badly, I was going to give them a crack at it. And the other people who were content to kind of, you know, sit on the sidelines and, you know, kind of watch the parade go by, I thought, how can I really entrust them with any kind of responsibility if they're just waiting for the phone to ring?
Absolutely. So that way, when you're on the phone, you will arrange the interview at that moment in time, And then prior to the in-person interview, you'll then email your resume, your right fit resume.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
You know, years ago I was looking for work, and I must have had 15 different resumes. They would all emphasize different aspects of what I had accomplished depending on the fit for me of the job I was looking for.
And luckily,
I'm no longer in that kind of position, but you never know. So in the days of word processing, don't just trot out the old resume without a little bit of custom work. And then here's one thing that always gets me, Dr. Barrow, is I would get resumes where they would have, they had done a poor cut and paste job.
Right.
And so I could tell that it was a sort of a cloned from something else, but they hadn't even bothered rereading and proofreading their own resume. I thought, gee, if they're not that concerned with their own job about to do any proofreading, how are they going to be concerned about, you know, my company?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is this, that if you show you're the right fit, both in your written and verbal broadcast, then you stop the employer from shopping, from wanting to parade candidates. Because you will show you are the right fit, and you should then hear you're hired.
Exactly.
Well, I agree, and let me just one thing. Then Brooke has a question here, but I can just tell you, having hired a number of people, that I always wanted to get that job off my plate. I had other things to do, and I had to ultimately make a decision. So if somebody comes to me with all these things that looks like a right fit, my job is done. I want to get that job over and done with. I want to be able to walk into my partner or whatever, business partner, and say, hey, I found the guy, or I found the lady for this job. I'm done.
What
deal closed.
What business were you in, John?
Woody, advertising agency.
Woody.
No, I know. John's our producer. Advertising agency. So,
advertising agency.
Yeah.
So you really needed people who think and think quickly.
Yes, because the management at the company couldn't.
I was going to say.
And that was me.
No.
But that's right. Yeah, we wanted people who were flexible, who could roll with the punches, and you know, actually were fairly creative, at least had creative solutions. They didn't have to always have a genius ad campaign, but at least knew how to think on their feet.
Well, I want to ask you, I'm curious, Woody, whether you watched how they walked into the interview. Did you ever watch how people walk?
Well, yes, I actually do watch for posture and that sort of thing, and self-confidence and that sort of thing, but probably.
But also the quick pace. When I'm coaching candidates, I tell them it's very important to walk with a quick pace because then the employer can visually see you doing the job. It's a mental mindset.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I hadn't actually thought about it, but some people, you know, you just like the old expression, the cut of their jib.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are perky and upright and whatnot, rather than just slinking on in, I figure if they're slinking on in, boy, if they're tired by the time they get to the interview, I can't imagine what they're going to be when they're fully entrenched on the payroll.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to walk in with confidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever I would go on a job interview, I would walk in with, I already knew that it was my job. And I had that aura and that confidence, you know, and it makes a huge difference.
I think that's huge. You don't want to look, when you're looking for a job, if I could say, there's certain people who, as you say, Brooke, they walk in like they already have the job.
Yeah.
They are ready to hit the deck running. And then there are some people who look like, honestly, like they're begging for a handout on the corner.
And they're scared to death.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I say not to walk in with your hat in your hand.
Yeah.
And also, too, I really want people to send their resumes ahead, not to carry them with them. Again, the only time you would bring something with you is if you want to show examples of your work. You know, if you're an artist and you want to show examples, or let's say you're an ad person and you want to show ads that you've written, or you're a journalist and you want to show articles that you've written. But other than that, I really want people to send their resumes ahead, not to bring them again.
Do you know, it's interesting. I knew somebody many, many years ago who, and whether this is right or not anymore, but, you know, 20, 30 years ago, he would send out a resume and he'd have one of those little toy magic kits, you know, where you get the rings together that you buy in a little store. And it just, and he would say, you know, this isn't a puzzle. It's an easy fit. And they always remembered him because, oh, you're the one that sent the magic puzzle.
Yeah.
And he was saying, yes.
Yeah.
It's a great fit. And it was getting those, the two rings together. I mean, I think the thing, each kid cost him maybe $2 or $3, but he was always remembered when he walked in.
Wow.
You have to differentiate yourself.
Yeah.
And the cold call definitely differentiates you. And let's face it, what if you call and you find out that the position is really the wrong fit, that you're not interested in pursuing an interview?
Sure.
I mean, the in-person. Perhaps you find out they want you to travel 75% of the time and you don't want to do that. Or that they want you to move across country and you don't want to do that. You have no idea how many people call me after they move cross country and then tell me that that was the wrong thing to do.
Mm.
Well, you know, you want to figure that out before you move cross country.
You know, I like that because I like the idea that a lot of people are willing to just take any kind of job because, and very often they're desperate. But if you think of yourself as unique, I think you are really empowered if you are willing to say, no, that job isn't for me.
Absolutely. Because what will happen is you'll take the job, you'll be very unhappy. I do a seminar entitled The Wrong Fit, Fix It or Flee. And all my attendees are sick people. I feel like I have a hospital room. Headaches, palpitations, because they've been staying in jobs that are really the wrong fit, and they don't know how to fix it. And certainly fleeing is not a good idea if you don't suddenly want to become unemployed. So it's very important to really determine whether the fit is right for both sides. I refer to it as the exquisite fit, the match between the employee and the employer.
Dr. Barrow, this is really great. Wow. Unfortunately, we're going to run out of time. We would love to have you back on the show because what you just talked about, all these people who are in the wrong job, that's a topic for an entirely different show.
Oh, yes.
And I would love to talk to you about that. But in the meantime, I want to let you be able to plug your book. The name of the book is Win Without Competing. I guess we can get this at Amazon and everywhere
Absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely. You can get it at Amazon or Borders or Barnes & Noble. And if your listeners have any questions, or if they would like to discuss career coaching, they can feel free to call me in Los Angeles. My direct line is 310-441-5305.
All
so
right.
That's 310-441-5305.
Okay, and the website I was going to say, winwithoutcompeting.com.
Absolutely, and then they should also look at drbarrow.com. So they have two websites to look at, and on winwithoutcompeting.com, they can read excerpts of the book and determine whether it's the right fit for them.
Okay, Dr. Barrow, I've got 10 seconds to say goodbye, so thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Wonderful show. Great luck to you with the book. Thank you.